This is the Talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined for this special podcast by a New Zealander who made a remarkable impact in Notts colours in the early 21st century. Andre Adams checked in from Sydney to look back at the agony and ecstasy of that title-winning game in 2010.
You know, I played a horrendous shot to get out, and I was like, oh, man. I was walking off, and I was like, oh. When Sammet took that catch off Shiv, and I'd run off the fine leg, and there was no one at fine leg. There was no one there. It was such an amazing feeling.
Andre spoke about how Trent Bridge reignited his passion for cricket.
I started playing because I loved the game, and then you sort of have your journey, and you have your challenges, and I was really disheartened, obviously disenchanted with cricket at that point. And the thing with returning to Nottinghamshire was I found the love for the game, I think.
And he discussed why playing in front of the Notts supporters was so special.
Nottinghamshire supporters were there for you and the cricket. Like, they absolutely adored you. That makes it special, because then you want to play for you want to play for the supporters. You want to play for the members.
And he began by sharing how fondly he still feels about his adopted cricketing home.
Yeah, oh, look, it's a very special place in my heart, and I still feel very connected to Nottinghamshire. It's funny though, now it's, you know, I'm now geeking out as a fan rather than a player. So it's really cool to come full circle and go from fanboy to part of the team, and now back to fanboy.
Yeah, as you were saying, it's been quite a long time since you've been to Trent Bridge, but do you still feel that emotional connection when you'll see it for the test this week, I guess?
Yeah, the magic of HD TV is like, has that allure of like just how amazing Trent Bridge is. I think it really captures the beauty of the ground, and one of the special things is the members. That's one of my most fond memories of Trent Bridge, is the members were always so supportive. But you know, when that shot pulls back over West Bridgeford, and man, it's like, ah, gotta get back.
We'll sort of go through your Notts career, but particularly first, I suppose, your arrival, because I was looking up kind of Notts's release announcing your arrival, and everything, considering the success you had, seemed a little bit low-key. Was it almost a kind of accidental arrival at Trent Bridge, if you like?
Yeah, it was very much a chance happening. I was actually on a ski trip. I think I've told the story a few times over the years, but I was on a ski trip. My first time actually seeing the snow with my family, and I'd sort of given up on cricket. I was actually very close to announcing my retirement, or not even announcing it, just retiring. And I got a phone call from Darren Long, who was the agent at Beswick, and you know, he's like, "Oh, would you be keen on playing some county cricket?" And I said no. But the line was, I was up the mountain, you know, so the line was a bit crackly, and he called me back in the morning and said, "Oh, it's all done. You're going to Trent Bridge." So, you know, it just happened to be. I think it was just fate. I absolutely loved Nottinghamshire. I played 2 years of club cricket in Kimberley, yeah. And fond memories and friends I consider family. So. It just felt really natural, actually, like going to Trent Bridge always, and Nottinghamshire has always, since my first day in 2000, it's always felt like home.
What were your first impressions stepping in the dressing room as a Notts player with, I guess, Stephen Fleming as captain at that point?
Yeah, so Flem picked me up from the train, actually. It was kind of surreal. It was really cool to be involved with Flem outside of New Zealand cricket, because I'd only ever had him as a captain whilst playing one day cricket for New Zealand, obviously one test match. I played against him a few times, obviously in first class cricket, but I was quite surprised to get the call, given that there was a few other bowlers or probably of higher caliber that he had to pick from. And I'd played against McNeil. So I think Mick knew who I was, and I knew Paul Franks and a few of the lads from around the traps, but walking into the changing room, Graham Swan was the thing that hit me first. Man, what a madman. I'd never met such a madman in all my life. Like, just so authentic and so unapologetically himself, you know. That was really cool. And it was nice to be in a team of people of cricketers that I respected. And then all of a sudden I was part of this. And as a young man growing up, I'd always wanted to play county cricket, and to play at Nottinghamshire with Sir Richard, you know, Sir Richard Hadley everywhere in Nottinghamshire. And then, you know, Daniel Vittori, Stephen Fleming, Nathan Astle, you know, just, it was pretty cool. It was very surreal to start with. And I was determined to do a job that New Zealanders could be proud of.
It's interesting you mentioned that, actually, because Carl Jameson did his press conference yesterday, and he talked about being inspired by those names and your photo on the wall now in these pavilion dressing rooms. I mean, how special is that?
The photo, man, I'd love to go back to looking like that. That'd be amazing. Yeah, that's really cool, actually. You know, Kyle's done really well for himself. He seems very down to earth. I haven't met Kyle off the park yet. I've only was coach of a team that we played against, and he seems like he's very driven. And it's really cool when people are connected to the history and they understand the importance of, you know, as Owen Eastwood says, their time in the sun. This is my time, but I'm going to be respectful to those who came before me. And I'm also going to try and pave the way for those who come after me. And that's very cool to hear. Like, you know, that was certainly a big driving force for me. So I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that it's working out for someone else too.
Now, I guess it has to be 2010 that we touch on in most detail. That bowling attack, first of all, you've got people like Darren Patterson, Ryan Sidebottom, Stuart Broad in there as well. What was that attack like to be a part of in 2010?
Oh, it was crazy. You know, years gone by as well, Charlie Schreck and Mark Elam, you know, like we just seem to have this this attack which could just produce, whoever was playing, could just produce the goods. And, you know, it was, Paul Franks was amazing that year as well. You know, he had a great year with the ball. It was just a great year from us. Darren Patterson was amazing. Ryan Sidebottom was just, you know, he was awesome all of the time. Most of us had little ups and downs, but as a unit, we got it done. It was really cool, actually. And, you know, we had some amazing partnerships, particularly that last day at Lancashire there. You know, Adam Voges at that time was one of the best chasers of a target I'd ever seen. And the way him and Samit Patel ripped the Lancashire attack apart, obviously with Mark Wall sort of starting it as well. It was pretty awesome, but we were really united in the way we wanted to do it. We knew that they wouldn't play a game, and so we only had one choice. It was to get the runs and then to get the wickets. So it kind of simplified it for us, but it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you talk about that chase, which Voges and Patel did so well in, but then it did come down to Ryan and Darren to get those last 10 runs, I think, for the bonus point. Were you backing them while you were sat in the dressing room?
Yeah, I was. You know, I played a horrendous shot to get out. Took my eye off the ball. I'd already looking at where it had gone. And, you know, I got bowled. And I was like, oh, man. I was walking off and I was like, oh. And no one sort of really looked. I was getting ready to get my spikes on and stuff. And I just heard this big cheer, you know, oh, let's go. And Mickey, pretty nervous. He's a nervous watcher. He's an awful watcher, actually. It was a really cool day for a number of reasons. One, you know, we won the championship, but two, the way we got it done and the team effort that was involved, it's such a hard feeling to describe. It was kind of euphoria, but relief. And yeah, it was pretty awesome as the video shows.
Yeah, and I think the photo that we have of you celebrating taking that final wicket is one of my favourite photos of any Notts player on the field anywhere. What was that moment like, the culmination of that 6 months of work, I guess?
Yeah, and that's exactly it, because we worked so hard to get ourselves in the position, and then we thought we'd thrown it away. And it was really odd, because that, you know, I wasn't a massive, at that stage of my career, I wasn't a massive celebrator of wickets. I just sort of tried to get the job done and stay reasonably level emotionally so I could be at my best. But, you know, when Samit took that catch off Shiv, and I actually didn't know, I can't remember that moment. I could just remember the ball going to Samit's hands, and then I could remember, I think it was Paddo smacking me on the head in the huddle, and I'd run off the fine leg, and there was no one at fine leg. There was no one there. You know, there wasn't even anyone watching down there. So I don't know where I was going, but it was just, it was such an amazing feeling. And then as soon as we finished and we're in the changing room, it was like, it was just such a wonderful feeling to be sharing that moment with Nottinghamshire and with the people in the room and with all the people who, you know, who'd got us into that position to start with. It was pretty cool.
And you talk about your considerations of retiring as well. Did that make it all the more special that maybe 2 or 3 years before you might have given the game up?
Yeah, well, I found the thing with returning to Nottinghamshire was I found the love for the game, I think. And that's started playing because I love the game, and then you sort of have your journey and you have your challenges. And I was really disheartened, really disenchanted with cricket at that point, and it became just a job. But then playing for Nottinghamshire and the feeling of being back in Nottinghamshire, playing for Kimberley, and the ease of which I slipped back into being in Nottinghamshire, and the feeling of being around the people in the team that made me feel so welcome and part of the family straight away, I really wanted to pay that back. And so instead of playing, you know, to get paid or to, you know, to make higher honours, I was just trying to repay the faith. And it was a really cool feeling to play for the love of the game. And it didn't matter how hard it got, I just loved being on the park, you know, loved standing in the middle of Trent Bridge, regardless of what the score was. It was like, you know, Disneyland for most of the time. There's obviously some times when it was pretty difficult and I didn't bowl very well, but I'd still rather be standing there, you know, with average figures than doing any other job in the world.
I guess all that took together made the celebrations after the win pretty special in Manchester.
Yeah, they were. I was in a room with Darren Pattinson. So we had a great night. He's a crazy man, absolutely crazy man. But yeah, it was such a wonderful feeling to be able to celebrate what was pretty awesome 6 months. But it wasn't just the 6 months, it was, you know, 2 years before that we were runner up. So we'd been second, and you know, and then it would have felt a bit funny if we hadn't managed to pull it off. But it was it's a moment that I'll never forget. And I remember towards the end of my night, because I'm not much of a night owl. Toward the end of my night, I just slipped away and had a quiet drink with Reedy, you know, and it was nice. He worked as a captain, he was awesome. As a person, he's amazing. You know, and I love him to bits, but it was, I mean, everyone on that side, I love the bits. You know, if I was going to throw a party tomorrow, they'd all be on the invite list. And it would be pretty special to be able to share that moment. But actually what was really cool was heading back to New Zealand, catching up with Flem and talking about it, you know, because he started that journey for me. And I'm hugely appreciative for that opportunity.
And you touch on kind of the rigours of the county season, I guess, as well, because it's a long season. There's a lot of overs to put through your body. How did you find that kind of, I suppose, the consistency and the amount of effort you have to put in over such a long period of time in a 4-day season?
I'm fairly lucky at that stage. I'd already played all year round for 3 years previous. So, you know, I came into the Nottinghamshire side pretty fit. Just played a season or a series in Australia, New Zealand A, Australia A, and South Africa A, and there were some pretty awesome names in all of those, some really amazing names actually in all of those teams. And so I came into that pretty fresh, having just played, but pretty well rested. And then the next season, I played half a season, 2008, because I had to wait for my passport to come through and a number of things. But by then, I was, you know, I was fairly au fait with what it takes to be a county cricketer. You've got to bowl lots of overs and you've got to be able to do it. And it was my choice to go home and play all year round. And I actually thought that was the only way of keeping fit to play. So I didn't find the physical challenge too much. What was actually harder was trying to switch off mentally in between seasons. Yeah. So trying to get away from always being a cricketer and I'm not really being that well connected to my family the whole time, because you're sort of doing this, excuse me, you're doing this job of being this, you know, trying to be a performer, which has its toll on family life in terms of how well you connect and what you're thinking about. And I found that the challenge was trying to be more present as soon as the season finished. But, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. I was actually talking to Dante, my oldest boy, today about, you know, imagine the sliding doors. If that call hadn't come through, you know, you would never have had those 8 years in England. You know, you wouldn't know what you know. You would never have been to America on the way home, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, hugely grateful for the opportunity and what it's provided for my family, and not just from financial point of view, but from an experience and a worldly experience has been pretty awesome. Like it's hard. There's nothing I can say that would be, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, you know. It was so good.
Good place to be in that, definitely. I was looking up some quotes from people after you left Notts and after you then retired from cricket, and McNeill was talking about your impact as a role model as well for younger bowlers in that dressing room? Was that something you were aware of during your time here?
Yeah, so Charlie Schreck and I trained pretty hard. We physically, you know, we worked pretty hard as to try and stay in the park. Schreck, he had a number of, like he had a stress fracture, he had a knee issue, which he was coming back from. And we just knew that to do what we needed to do, we needed to be physically ready to go. And so we didn't take any shortcuts there, but we also probably pushed the young guys a bit too hard. There was times when, you know, Luke Fletcher didn't want to know. at all. And like, I get that, because, you know, someone makes it to a certain level without having to do a certain thing, it can be a challenge when all of a sudden you say that's not good enough. So we pushed them pretty hard, but we also, you know, we weren't getting any younger, so we didn't need any reasons to not be playing. You know, we couldn't let physical, you know, not fit enough be a thing. I had to be injured or not performing. And so we just worked really hard in the gym, and we certainly could have been more understanding and more empathetic, but I think that's something you learn as you get older and you have kids. So, you know, you do what you know. And I love Luke. I think he's awesome. He's been over here a couple of times and we've caught up, and I think he's the penny dropped from a couple of years ago in terms of.
I was going to say, what a last couple of years he's had. That must have been something pretty special to watch from over there.
Yeah. Look, you know, it's, I'm really proud of him, because would have been really, I actually didn't expect him to be able to keep going. You know, if he'd continued the way he was going, his body would have been a wreck and he wouldn't be able to do what he loves. And at some stage you grow up and you make a choice, and the choice was always yours. It's not mine or yours to tell someone what they need to be doing. They've got to understand it for themselves. And, you know, the penny dropped for him. I think being hit on the head was a scary moment, massive wake up call, and you realize what you're missing out on. I'm glad he's okay from that. Surprised the catch wasn't taken because it went up so high. But, you know, there's learnings for everyone. It's just anyone learns at their own speed. So, you know, him and Jake Ball have done really well. The legend, Brett Hutton, good to see him back. Good performer. You know, the main thing with county cricket from a rigger's point of view is understanding that as you get older, you got to do more to stay fit. You got to drink less and stay more and stay fitter.
And Jake will be someone you linked up with quite recently as well when he came over for Sydney Sixers.
He's still a wonderful person. You know, still like just this lovely young man that I knew. Obviously a bit more experienced, a bit wiser, a good performer. So, you know, Jake's got plenty of potential, which has been untapped. You know, just it's a few things that he can do to get better, and you know, finding out. And again, you've got to find out for yourself. You know, but he's got a wonderful amount of potential still left in him.
Yeah, and another one of those younger bowlers who would have been in that dressing room, who'll be out here at Trent Bridge this week, of course, is Stuart Broad, still going strong on the international scene.
Amazing, amazing.
What was the Stuart like that you saw in the dressing room in the sort of early 2010s?
Yes, like, I mean, I think at one stage he was averaging 8 with the ball for us. You know, whenever he played, we won. He ripped the heart out of Somerset in a fierce spell on a flat wicket. You know, I remember being at third slip and standing a long way back. You know, he was when he got angry, he was really fast, and he's really driven. And I know he's got this look about him where he looks, you know, he looks pleasant, you know, but when he's on the cricket pitch, he's unpleasant. So, you know, he's an incredible competitor, amazing competitor. The spell at Warwickshire as well, where he got 8 for and bowled them out, and that was incredible as well. You know, so Stuart's got this amazing ability to, once he starts getting a roll on, he's a match winner, and he still has that, you know. Yeah. So pretty scary at his age to still be able to do that. Even James Anderson, you'd think they'd be slowing down, and they look like they are slowing down when they play county cricket, but of course they go up to play test cricket, and that you know, that thing kicks in, and then all of a sudden it's back to being that, you know, where they were. So it's cool to see Brendan backing them. It's cool to see that they feel like they're being backed, and they're being trusted again. And I think, you know, they've got a couple of years left in them if they want them. But at some stage, I'll have to hand the baton over, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
No, and we touched on a little bit earlier on about the sort of the relationship you had with the supporters here, but you're still held in such high regard by the people that come and watch Notts at Trent Bridge. How is your relationship, or how was your relationship with those people who turned out to watch you here?
Oh, pretty good. There's a special mention to Rachel Harrison. I mean, she, if you don't know who she is, you're missing out, because she bakes the best baked goods on the planet. But you know, her and her crew were awesome, and they were so loyal regardless of how we go. Now, when Knott's was going through that really awful period a couple of years ago, I've been in contact with Rachel the whole time since I left, actually. So she was just loyal to the core, would not have a bad word to say, you know, couldn't see anything, just amazing. And I think I played at Essex and I played at Nottinghamshire, and the difference between the supporters were that Nottinghamshire supporters were there for you and the cricket, like they absolutely adored you. Whereas at Essex, it was all about your performance. And you know, like that makes it special, because then you want to play for the supporters, you want to play for the members. And the Nottinghamshire members and supporters are absolutely amazing. And I love the fact that they're so close to the ground and so close to the players, because they get quite a unique, quite a special thing now. A lot of stadiums are quite sterile, and that you can't get close enough to the players and you're not part of it. Whereas I think at Trent Bridge has maintained that wonderful sort of cohabitation between the players and the supporters.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure to look back a little over some of your time over here. Will you be catching up with the test as well in the coming days?
Mate, it's one thing I will not miss is the test match at Trent Bridge, regardless of who's playing. It's just makes me feel like I'm back at home. I'm actually, you know, when I see the shots of Trent Bridge, I feel like I'm back in Abbey Road, you know, sitting in my little flat, watching a test match on the TV, and I can hear the cheers, I can hear the roars, and I'll be watching it for sure. So I just wanted to give a massive shout out to all my friends and the people I consider family back in Nottinghamshire. Amazing time, and massive thank you for making it so special.